Time for Pastor Pals. Okay, as they're coming on down, I'm going to need some help this morning. There you go. Y'all help each other out. Help each other get that offering in there. There you go. Drop it in there and help the other one too. Y'all grab a seat. Yep, drop it in, grab a seat. While they're coming, I need Zach Montanino and Caleb Reese to come here. Come on. Y'all stand up here with me. Good job helping each other out. Zach, just stand right here, and Caleb, stand beside him. And, okay. All right, y'all did good. Now turn around and look at these two guys behind you. Two guys right here. No, right here. Well, in front of you, you're facing this way. Okay, now which one of these people is the bigger person? Okay, which one's the smaller person? Now let me ask you, why, this is Zach and this is Caleb, why is Zach bigger than Caleb? Does anybody know? Okay, why? He's grown up, okay? You like to hear that, don't you, Zach? All right? Okay, well, why is Caleb shorter than Zach? Will Caleb ever be as tall as Zach? Mallory? He's younger, yeah. Will Caleb be that tall? Maybe. Could be. You know. Now let me ask y'all this. Why do you think Zach's taller than I am? I'm grown up and I'm older than him. Why is he taller than me? We got grown up close to the same height. Maybe he ate more Wheaties or something. But did you know this? That God made Zach and God made Caleb. And he makes everybody differently. We may be different heights. We may have different smiles. But did you know God made every one of you? And he loves you. And no matter if we look different, we're taller or shorter, if we got different color hair, if we got long arms or short arms, that God loves you just the way you are. And I appreciate these two for helping me out. Okay, everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Y'all did really good. Dear Lord, I just thank you for letting us talk about how that you love us no matter how we're made, that you died for us on the cross of Calvary. I thank you that you love us enough to do that and that you've given us a hope beyond this world through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. And whoop, y'all walk to them back there, Miss Lisa and the crew. Okay. Looks like you're going to need the crew, Miss Lisa. All right. Did good, Patrick. Give me five.
Melissa has our special this morning.
Jesus. Jesus. For the Bible tell me the ones to him be well they are white by me. Jesus was a designer for a Bible hand down the with the ones that he is strong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus was me. Yes, Jesus was me. The Bible tells me so.
When I was practicing last night, he said, I'm going to sing too. So,
oh, Over time you've healed so much in me. I am living proof that although my darkest hour had come, your light could still shine through. Though at times it's just enough to cast a shadow on the wall. Well, I am grateful that you shine a light on me at all. Who am I that you would love me so gently? Who am I that you would recognize my name, Lord? Who am I that you would speak to me so softly? Conversation with a love most high. Who am I? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And the more I sing that sweet old song, the more I understand that I do not comprehend this love that's coming from your hand. Who am I that you would love me so gently? Who am I that you would recognize my name, Lord? Who am I that you would speak to me so softly? Conversation with a love most high. Who am I? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Sin. Who am I that you would love me so gently? Who am I that you would recognize my name, Lord? Who am I that you would speak to me so softly? Conversation with the love most high. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Lord, who am I?
Amen. Good job. And Patrick did an awesome job too. Appreciate it. Head to book of Hebrews chapter 11. Patrick is definitely not shy, and which I'm not telling his parents or grandparents anything that they don't already know. I appreciate his candor. He is he can definitely keep you entertained, and depending on what he may say. And this, like Casey, big year. And let's see, is this his first year in school, public school, I think? I don't know. But him and Casey, I headed off to school, and they're growing up faster than we can shake a stick. I'm just thrilled about for Jason and Joy. I pray that everything goes wonderful with them and their new addition to their family. I'm excited for them. Every now and then get a chance to help out with a baby or a youngin' and feeding them. And I'm just so glad mine are to the point where they feed themselves and dress themselves and go to the restroom by themselves. And used to, all those things are necessary. We were sitting up watching the other day on the Discovery Channel, Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs, and it was on a dairy farm. And it was some watching, you know, and you oohing and aahing over calves being born and stuff and different things like that. And horses, deer, cows, a lot of you had these, messed with these animals all your life. And they're born and they hop up. They can stand up and walk and go up to the mom and get some food and nourishment. But babies are so dependent upon a mom. You know, of all the mammal species, which we are, the human baby is an example to us of how much we need God. When we're born again, we stand still, totally dependent. Did you know that you cannot save yourself? You cannot work for your salvation. In the Bible, we're fixing to speak on this subject, the patriarchs of faith. Now, a patriarch is, if you look up that, it's kind of very similar to what we call the forefathers. You know, our forefathers of our country, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, and you think about many others that have, Patrick Henry, who helped our country have an independence from England. And you know, a lot of people say, why are we independent? Why did we declare our independence? A lot of people say, from England. A lot of people will state, well, taxation without representation. But really and truly, that was way on down the list of all the grievances listed. It was number 17. But some of the higher ones was religious freedom. Some of the higher ones was freedom from military oppression and so on and so forth. We had forefathers in our country. Patriarchs, very similar. Patriarch is a word which means the foundational men of a lineage. Foundational people that started a belief system. And truly, these men were. The Bible mentions these patriarchs of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Does that not sound familiar, only begotten son? Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Well, let me stop there and just talk about the first part here, which is called Abraham's trial. If you will, let's head on to the book of Genesis, where this is the story. And if you will, think about it, it mentions in our book here in the Bible, it mentions these men, Abraham offering his son Isaac up on the altar, Mount Moriah. It says also about Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau. And then it mentions about Jacob and what he did with Joseph. And then it mentions Joseph and what he did concerning the children of Israel with his bones. Now, all of these are awesome stories. And all of these stories, I mean, I could just, and I said, man, I don't want to get bogged down in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, because you could, there's so many stories in Hebrews 11, you could just stay here for a long time. I mean, I could preach a sermon here from Genesis 22. I hope you're there already, but I'm going to try to cover all this. This is a story about Abraham offering his son Isaac up. I mean, what a request by God. Go up to this place on where I'm going to tell you. Take the wood, the fire, and the knife. They went up on top of this mount, if you will. Basically, to us, being from Arkansas, it'd be like on top of a pretty large hill. And being over there and seeing what they'd call these mountains. They're not really high like the Rocky Mountains. But so he's up on top of the mount, if you will. And God said, go here. You got the wood, the fire, and the knife. And Isaac looked up and he said, well, Dad, where is the offering. We're going to offer a lamb, a sheep. What are we going to do here? And, you know, of course, the famous verse that we're going to look at real quickly is verse 8. I hope you're already there. First of all, I've got to hit verse 1. I'm in Genesis 22, and it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt." And I put in there in your outline that the word tempt there does not mean tempt, dangle a temptation there. It means a trial of faith, if you will, a test. And it means that in the original Hebrew, it was a test to see if Abraham believed God. Now, if you read this story in the book of Genesis 22, we find out that Abraham, number one, he definitely believed God. But we don't really know what Abraham's thinking. Did you know that God, by His inspiring of the Holy Spirit, for the man who wrote the book of Hebrews, that He gives us a glimpse in Hebrews 11, what was Abraham thinking when he drew back the knife and was about to cut his son's jugular vein, which is really an artery, and kill him right there on that spot because God told him to? He believed what about God? Hebrews 11 says he believed that God would even raise him from the dead. And folks, at this particular time in Bible history, man history, any kind of history you want to look at, did you know that no one had ever been raised from the dead at this particular time in Bible history, but people history, ever how you want to say it? And so he was believing that God could do something that had never been done. Folks, I want to ask you this morning, do you believe that God can do something He's never done before? Did you know God has never, there has never been a rapture of His entire people? But there will be one day. You know, I think about, if you will, there's been many small examples of a rapture or a similar event. I think about what must it have been like for Elijah to have been caught up in the whirlwind of fire? What was that like? That's not really exactly like a rapture, but that's quite a ways to go. Well, you know, and people have asked me before about death, and I was picking at Brother Tim about not getting any younger, and neither one of us are, and he's got me beat by about 15 years, but you know, he's still young because he's not even 60 yet, praise the Lord. And so, you think about these things that we're all gonna meet death. We're all gonna face death, aren't we? And I'm not afraid of death, but I might be a little intimidated about how am I going to meet death or how am I going to face death. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't really want to, you say, go out in a blaze of glory. Elijah did. He was caught up by that whirlwind of fire and went to be with the Lord. But, you know, kind of like I got tickled about, I was listening to Miss Phyllis Hills had a DVD of a comedian of this fellow from Branson, and I have just been wearing the thing out, listening to it, and said, this one kinfolk, I'm not going to call her name, but this one kinfolk said that alcohol finally got her. Yeah, said a beer truck ran over her, you know. And I don't want that to happen to me, so I'm not going to play in the street like some people I know. But because you might get, I don't want to go that away, but we're all going to go one day. Did Isaac say, this is the way I want to go. I want my dad to kill me. But you know what? He was willing to believe his father and trust his dad. The Bible says that Isaac didn't fight his dad. I know I might have some words with my dad if he wanted to put me on an altar and take my life. But here's the great picture of this story. And then I'll have to move on. The great picture of Genesis 22 is two verses. Verse 8 and verse 13. First of all, when Isaac asked, "Where is the offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. That's faith. They trusted God. What did they trust? That God would provide And I love the way it phrases it, himself. Now, what is the next great verse of this chapter? That's verse 13. Because it says this, Abraham lifted up his eyes after the angel cried out, said, "Stop, Abraham, stop!" And look, behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead. And it says in my Bible, in the stead of his son. And what that means is, in the place of. And I put right there, folks, Jesus was offered up in our place. That ram was offered up in Isaac's place. You know, I preached a sermon one time that said Isaac represented all of us. He's carrying the wood. He's carrying the fire. He's carrying the knife. All instruments of judgment and death when it comes to offering an animal. Isaac, we don't deserve heaven. And we do deserve death, or in other words, separation from God, because none of us can be good enough to be and live with a holy God. A God so holy that the Bible says the best you can do. I mean, if we give Allie a hard time sometimes about, she has an impeccable vocabulary. I said, where did she learn to use those words? And she does really good job on tests. But if Allie Jo was to go through school and make perfect grades her whole time in school, the Bible says the best that you can do is as filthy rags in His sight. That sounds like it's hopeless. I can't get to heaven. That's why God sent His Son in our place. Why did God send the ram caught by the horn so there would be no blemish on His body? Why did God do that? Because He loves you and He loves me. And He loved Isaac. And so what a great story with Abraham's trial. It was a trial of faith. Well, now if you would, I'm back in Hebrews 11. Verse 20, Isaac, of all the patriarchs, is probably the book of Genesis speaks the most about Joseph, the least about Isaac. Very little in Genesis is devoted to Isaac. Matter of fact, he made several mistakes, and he really didn't trust the Lord on several occasions. So he had a lot of blemishes on his record. And it says in verse 20, it says, but you know what God says about Isaac? He says He blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Concerning this story, we find in the book of Genesis 25. I'm headed back there. We will be. In Genesis 25, the story, first of all, that Isaac had, and Rebekah had two sons. They were twins. And Esau came out first. A set of twins inside the womb. And Esau came out. So he's the firstborn. According to the law, he gets a double portion. And, well, God said, I'm going to change things around. Did you know God can change things around if He wants to? In Genesis 25, verse 23, it says this, the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Who came out first? Esau. So he was older, by ever how many minutes or whatever the case was. And who came out next? Well, Jacob did. Well, Isaac knew this prophecy that God said that his birthright should be passed on to Jacob. But he really didn't believe that. Matter of fact, he thought he was blessing. He was tricked. But Jacob means trickster. Means somebody who's a conniving, somebody you better look out for. I don't know if we have any Jacobs in here, but that's what your name means. And but anyway, so Jacob and his mom tricked Isaac into blessing him, thinking it was Esau. Now, Isaac loved Esau a bunch. You know why? Esau was a deer hunter. He said, man, I love the way you kill the deer. I love the way you fix the deer. I love the way you cook the deer. And make me some of that deer meat and that stuff before, as I'm getting on up older. Of course, he was almost blind, just almost literally. And of course, the story goes on, if you will, in Genesis 25, verse 33. And Jacob said, now this is when Jacob and Esau traded birthrights, if you will, because Esau was starving to death. Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he said, swear unto him. And he, that is Esau, sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now, I put in here, now, number one, Isaac knew about this. Isaac knew two things. Number one, Isaac knew about what God said about his two sons. Number two, there's a good bit of time later whenever he does the birthright or the blessing. And patriarchal blessing is a neat study. We have a book in our library. It's called, it's by Gary Smalley and John Trent, I believe their names are, and it's called The Blessing. A patriarchal blessing in the Old Testament. And you know what it's alluded to? I'm going to take this little side trip for just a second. There's many, and it's alluded to the father-child relationship and how all fathers can pass along a blessing to their children. Now, this isn't like, it's not quite the same as me saying, I give this son or child a blessing and I curse this other one. What it is it, and you'll have to read the book, it's pretty interesting, how that especially dads have a special place in God's eyes that they can bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and the way you treat your children, the blessing, in other words, how you literally go to them and you say, I'm praying for you, I'm doing my very best to raise, you can do this for your son or your daughter, I'm doing my very best to raise you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's interesting how that there's almost a, if you will, a conference of a blessing upon that child from the dad. Similar to what you find here with the patriarchs. Okay? Now, here's where this family acted shamefully. Folks, I have seen this with my very eyes. I have seen moms and dads start coming to church and they bring their whole family to, they start, and their kids start coming to church. I've seen the opposite happened. I've seen kids, children, it's not as effective because God didn't design it this way. But I've seen kids come to church before and end up bringing mom and dad to church with them. So this tells me what you do as a parent or a grandparent can have a great influence on your kids, which you already know this. Your kids and your grandkids, okay? Isaac, the whole family really acted wrong. Number one, Isaac tried to do the wrong thing the wrong way. In other words, he's going to give a blessing. He says, I don't care what God said, and I don't care what Jacob and Esau decided to do between themselves. I know he sold his birthright, but I'm going to give the blessing to Esau because he's my favorite. But guess what? Rebekah and Isaac decided to do the wrong thing or the right thing the wrong way. What'd they do? They tricked Isaac into giving the blessing. Remember, he put the hairs of skin on Jacob's arms, and he tried to change his voice, and he offered the deer meat, if you will, and fixed it just like Esau had done. All why? To get the birthright or the blessing from his dad. Well, Isaac, the Bible, even though he made a mistake, if you will, even though he made some wrong decisions, what does the Bible say about him? The Bible says that once he gave, now this is why the Bible says this about him. It says, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. Now Esau, he gave a blessing, but it wasn't a birthright blessing, if you will. Because the firstborn was supposed to get a double portion. Well, you know what? You know why it's mentioned here about Isaac? Because once he, even though he did it erroneously, in other words, not knowingly, or unknowingly, if you will, even though he blessed his son Jacob with the birthright and the blessing of the firstborn, you know what he told his son Esau when he came in later? He said, how can I bless you when I've already given that birthright and that blessing to Jacob? He believed that in the blessing that God had given to him to be passed on to his son. So that's a great story, an interesting story. Well, I've got to move on. Verse 21 says this. By faith, Jacob, now this is a whole other story. Jacob, who got the blessing from his dad Isaac, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, this story that I want to hit on real quick is found in the book of Genesis 48. Let's head that away. Now, this is just a neat story. There's more chapters given in the book of Genesis to his son Joseph than any other man in the book of Genesis. An amazing story. But remember, Jacob had a son named Joseph. Matter of fact, from Jacob came all the tribes of Israel. And it says Jacob, like his father, had many ups and downs in his walk. He bargained with God. He praised God. He wrestled with God, literally. And yet in the end, he believed God. In Genesis 48 and verse 21, the Bible says this, and Israel, now this is Jacob, by the way. Remember, Jacob means trickster or supplanter. After he had his wrestling match with God, and he said, God, give me a blessing before I die. And God blessed Jacob, and he said, your name will never be called Jacob again. It's going to be called Israel, one who contends or fights for God. And here it says what? Israel or Jacob said unto Joseph, this is in Egypt, because remember the famine, they're in Egypt and all that. Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee a portion above my brethren, because not only did Jacob bless Joseph, he blessed both his sons, later on known as half-tribes. But I took out of the hand of, and I'll give thee a portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. So what two things did Jacob or Israel say here? Number one, that God is going to take our family, a family of basically 70 people, we find out later. And he says he's going to lead you out. Now Joseph went back and buried his father in the land of Canaan. But he had to come back, because the famine was still going on, and that's where all the food was. Matter of fact, when the Pharaohs changed later, matter of fact, Jacob or Israel became a prophet. He said, you're going to be led by God out of this land back to the land of Canaan. And lo and behold, if it didn't come to pass. Well, back one more time to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We find out in this last part, I'm going to go ahead and, I just realized our outline says to verse 23, but we're only going to verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. The Bible says here that, and if you go back again to the death of Joseph at the very last part of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24. I thought I put that in there with you, but I didn't. So head to Genesis. This is our last scripture that we're going to look at. Joseph gave a commandment. At that time, the nation of Israel was about 70 people. Just, you know, you can figure up or down. Whenever they left several hundred years later, when they left the land of Egypt, led by Moses, depending on exactly which commentator you read after, and I'm sure all of them are really fairly close, depending on how you count the men, women, and children, it was 1.5 to 2.5 million of them. Now, that's taking God literally when he said, go and replenish the earth, okay? And they did. And they had kids. And matter of fact, the Pharaoh was very worried about them. He made them slaves for that reason, okay? But God blessed them anyway. But this is the cool part about the very last words of the book of Genesis. What does the word Genesis mean? Beginning. That's right. And notice here it says under verse 24, I'm in Genesis 50, 24, Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. How? Moses. And will bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He just named his dad, his grandpa, and his great-grandpa. And Joseph took an oath to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you will carry up my bones from hence. And so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You know why? He was the vice president at the time. Of course, they had the best morticians available that put him in a coffin. And I remember me sharing with y'all, I think it was last Sunday night, I'll share it with you, you know, top 10 things that ministers should not do. Number one, if you're preaching a funeral and you talk about this person's not really here, that's just the shell because the nut's already gone, you don't do that, okay? Don't refer to the person as a nut that's already gone and that's just the shell, all right? Well, one of these days, your soul, your spirit, that's a better way to put it, your spirit's going to live forever somewhere. When you die, They took his body, they embalmed it, and they put it where? In a coffin. Oh, by the way, who finally buried his bones? Well, it wasn't Moses, because he never went in the promised land, did he? It was Joshua. And if you go to the book of Joshua, you know what it says? They buried Joseph in the land of his fathers. And why? Because he had prophesied it, that it would happen. Now, let me ask you this. Some of you may not have your burial place already picked out. Some of you can walk right now, and your name is already written on a tombstone over there. So you know where you're going to be buried, or wherever it may be. I don't know where it may be, but it's somewhere. And I love that poem, how many of you have gone to a funeral and seen the brochure, the thing and the obituary, and then on one side, a lot of times there's Psalms 23, and I've seen this also, another poem, I know Miss Marie's seen it before, it's called The Dash. Over there on the tombstones over there, you have some of you are born 1930 or whenever it was, and which is way before my time, and so you're born in 1930 or whenever, and over there, I don't know when you're going to die. Well, if we write 2010 over there on your tombstone, well, that tells your beginning and your end. The dash tells what you did in between. And that's what I want to talk about before I let you go, because I still got you another few minutes. You know where you're going? Where's your final resting place? And what are you going to do with the dash in between? What does the Bible say about all these guys? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Guess what? I'm a pilgrim. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. And what does the rest of that song say? And my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. How many treasures have you laid up? Are you living for the Lord in this dash part of your life? Some of you know where your body's going to be. Where are you going to be? Did y'all understand that? Did I make sense? I don't care where you lay your body. And the Lord doesn't care either. If you know Him, He'll resurrect it one day. Where are you going to be? There's going to be a resurrection. Did you know this? The Bible says there's going to be a resurrection of the saved. All the saved are going to be resurrected. Did y'all know that there's also going to be a resurrection of the lost? Every lost person that's ever died will be resurrected. But the Bible says to live forever in a place called the lake of fire. There are two resurrections. One for the saved and one for the lost. And there's no in between. You say, well, preacher's trying to scare us now. Well, I don't care. So what? If you need to be saved, it's time. It's time. If you can understand that Jesus died for you, it's time. We have some great examples in the Bible. Live for the Lord. As we prepare for a hymn of invitation, would you bow with me for a word of prayer, please? Father, as we bow before you, I ask that you would please help us to be living for you during this dash, if you will. Matter of fact, your word even says that our life is just like a vapor, just like a puff of steam. It just appears and disappears in a moment of time. Life, matter of fact, the older we get, the faster it goes by. Which tells us that however how much time we have, that we need to be living for you. Father, I thank you for everyone that's here. But most of all, more than that, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, that they would give their heart to you as we have this time and this moment. Right now, they'd call on you, realizing that they're a sinner, asking you to save them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.